Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
I kind of forgot how to do this thing. It's been a while since we talked to you guys after a Chiefs win. Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Right now on the television, it is the Sunday Night Football replay on NFL Network. I don't really have any desire of ever watching this game again. Let me turn this off. I think I'm good. I think I got everything I needed to last night on NBC. We got a lot to get into from yesterday's game. Coming up in about 2 hours or so, we are going to be joined by the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. That is the only guest that we have scheduled today. So if you want to chime in, you know the phone number. If you want to text in, you also can chime in that way as well. We are going to hop in our time machine in just a bit. But before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two friends to check out the show, but you know what? If you could just tell one person to check out the show, I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, I need you to remember to stop by and go see our friends over at The Other Place. We got a great Monday night football game. So if you want to stop by, get yourself some great eats, get yourself a cold drink, and also watch some football later today, there's no better place to stop by than with our friends over at The Other Place. Why don't we hop in our time machine? Why don't we hop in the DeLorean? Let me play for you what we said at this time on Friday about Sunday Night Football. So I don't care about style points. This is not the BCS. There is no college football ranking poll that you need to worry about. The Chiefs just quite simply need to score more points on Sunday than the New York Giants. That's all that matters to me in this one. You got to get that first W on the board.
But for me, and I'll use an example of a game last year of what I do not want to see on Sunday. If this feels like Chiefs and Panthers did last year, I will be mad on Monday. The Giants are an inferior team to you. It is that simple. You are better than them. I know it's the NFL and any given Sunday and it's their home opener, blah, blah, blah. If this is a game where you need a game-winning Butker field goal or like a 4th-and-7 stop and they're at the Chiefs 40 and they just don't have the kicker to make a big kick and ooh, it's woo-saw and win, I'm going to feel a little bit of a way.
So that was the take from Friday. Now that we are here and we have seen the game, we have seen the result, I'm curious, Rob, if you feel the same or different about your opinion. I'll start. I think we know what this version of the Chiefs are. This is not a high-flying, flashy team right now. There are some infrastructure issues that we can discuss. But what was most important for this team was to simply get in the win column. I made this point on Friday. You could not allow the Giants to be a roadblock to anything you were trying to accomplish. We've seen this Giants team now 3 games. They are not a good football team. They were a team that got a chance to play the worst defense in the National Football League. They cooked the Cowboys. That still wasn't good enough. And aside from going up against Dallas, this is one of the worst offenses in the National Football League. You did what you were supposed to do to the New York Giants. So I applaud the Kansas City Chiefs for being a team right now that is not operating at full capacity, a team that certainly still has some ways to go for figuring out a way to get a win. But there are a couple of things that stood out to me, and I told you guys, and I'm going to be positive today, and some of the maybe deeper issues and questions, I'm willing to hold those conversations off until tomorrow. Today is a Rudd Monday. It's beautiful outside. I'm in a good mood. I want you to be in a good mood. These are some of my questions, though. I do think in some way we have talked about it and discussed it. Like when Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy come back, they are going to be able to fix all of the problems with the Kansas City Chiefs offense. Now, don't get me wrong. They are certainly going to help fix some of the issues. They might even help fix most of the issues with the Kansas City Chiefs offense. But I refuse to believe that right now their problems are related to not having two people on their team. This is a team right now that I think struggles to find a lack of identity on the offensive side of the ball. They don't get great quarterback play consistently. This isn't a team that can run the ball, and they don't really know who their number one running back is. They're still trying to figure out who can step up in that wide receiver room. Now, I think we are getting very close to having an answer to that, and we'll talk about Tyquan Thornton. You have an aging tight end. This offense right now just doesn't have an identity, and there isn't one thing that they can kind of lean their hat on. Now, is that going to be fixed with you getting Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy back? We'll see. But I don't want to run the risk of we have put all of the hope and all of the expectations on the Chiefs are just going to bounce back offensively when they get those two guys back. I'm just not sure if that's the case. And the other thing that I've noticed, and I think you guys have noticed this too, I'm used to the Chiefs living up to a certain standard and expectation. You know, there was a time when you watched the NFL and you see the Baltimores and the Buffaloes and the Philadelphias and whatever teams you consider to be at the top. And the Chiefs look to be on the same level as those teams. They look to be much better than those teams a lot of times. You kind of walked around with the aura of invincibility because you didn't feel like any of those teams could beat your team. I don't know how you can feel that way right now about this Kansas City Chiefs team. The effort that they gave on Sunday night was certainly good enough to beat the Giants. Is that an effort that's good enough to beat Baltimore coming up on Sunday? Is that an effort that's good enough to be better over a 17-game sample size in the Los Angeles Chargers? Is that an effort that's good enough to beat Buffalo that you have to play here coming up in 6 weeks? I've told you guys, I hold the Chiefs to a very different standard. It's are you playing at a Super Bowl level? Now, I think there's a big caveat. I don't think the Chiefs roster right now is healthy enough for us to be having that conversation. You also don't need to be there on September 22nd. So there is a lot of room for growth. There's a lot of margin for error, and I'm certainly willing to be patient and not jump the gun because we've seen what time can do to this roster and to the expectations of the team. But it is just startling to me that the Chiefs appear to be just further behind than what I had expected. And maybe that was just my own expectations that I placed very wrongly in the Kansas City Chiefs. I expected their offense to be further along than where they currently are. I expected certain things of this team to not feel as fractured as they feel right now. Things that can be fixed over time, but I just expected, given the continuity, not just on the field, but also in the coaching staff and in the front office, I just had an expectation that the Chiefs were going to be further along than they feel right now in the process. And the last thing, Rob, before I get your take on this, on how you feel about the Sunday Night Football effort is, I think one of the major problems right now with the Chiefs is Andy Reid and accepting where his roster is today. There is no reason for you to be running screenplays for Travis Kelce. Sometimes I think that falling back on the play calling is just an easy out, something that we all can do. But I'm looking at how their offense runs, and I'm hearing former NFL players say, hey, this team has to quit running out of shotgun. They are not effective at doing this, and at some point, you got to tell Patrick Mahomes to get under center, turn around, and hand the ball off, and allow the offensive line to push forward. The first touchdown drive that they had, their most effective and most efficient drive that they've had really all season coming out of the timeout, they ran the ball multiple times under center. So I'm watching at times it would appear a coach that seems to be calling plays for the 2021 Chiefs and not calling them for the 2025 Chiefs. I saw them run screen plays, and they weren't really doing that in the first two games. Well, who are you running those screens for? Let's get Breshad Smith more involved in the offense. I think it's very obvious right now that this team needs to rely heavily on Tyquan Thornton. I think he is their most explosive option that they have right now in the passing game. There is no reason to be running screen plays on the outside to a 36-year-old tight end where the expectation of the play has to be that everything has to be perfect. You got to get the right blocking on the outside. And if you're trusting Travis Kelce to either run past somebody or run over somebody, that time is over. So those plays you got to eliminate, and you got to start running those plays for a 25-year-old and not a 35-year-old. So I'm not down on the loss. I'm happy that the Chiefs won. I'm happy that we can have these conversations in a win. But it is a little bit telling to me that the Chiefs just they don't appear to be on the same level as the elite teams right now in the National Football League. They just appear to be a little further behind than I expected for a team that basically returned just about everybody for this team. There's not more teams in the continuity that had more continuity than the National Football League than the Kansas City Chiefs, and they just don't appear to be on that same time and schedule. And maybe this is the team that's going to figure it out week 7, week 8, and we'll see how the season progresses. But just at times, it felt like a struggle against one of the bottom five teams in the National Football League. Rob, I want to give you a chance to answer the question. Do style points matter? Did you see what you needed to see from the Kansas City Chiefs last night on Sunday Night Football? We can take your phone calls. We'll read your text, 913-586-7965. We'll also talk about Tyquan Thornton, who has really emerged as a reliable weapon in this offense. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Someone just texted in, C-Dot, on Friday you said you wouldn't complain about the Chiefs. I don't think the open was me complaining. I mean, I've certainly complained before. I know what it sounds like. I think I have the takeaway from their Sunday Night Football win is I think the problems that the Chiefs have are pretty apparent. I don't know right now if they have the roster to fix their problems. And I think we all are just quite simply in a holding pattern until they get their full complement of their offense back to see if that aids some of the problems. But I don't think the problems that you saw in this game are any different than the problems that you saw in week one or week two. They just played a substantially worse team than they played in week one or week two. In week one, they went up against right now, who could arguably be the best team in the AFC. In week two, they played a team that has won 19 of their last 20 games. That's not who they played. So the slow start, the penalty that takes away a first down, and now you have to kick a field goal, they made a lot of those same mistakes in this game. It still didn't look sharp. It still didn't look crisp. They just played one of the five worst teams in the National Football League. Now, a win is a win. And I've told you guys the goal for the Chiefs need to be you got to get to 3-3 by any means necessary. But I think we have to at least acknowledge that for a team that we have seen go to five of the last six Super Bowls and for a team who has played in the last three, this does not look like them at all. I think we all recognize what the Chiefs look like, and we know what greatness looks like and what championship-level football looks like, and that's just not how this team appears right now. How do they get that back? How do they get back on the path to looking like that team or a team that looks like they are the best team in the AFC? That's just not, that's not the team that we are watching every Sunday. Rob, I want to play this for you just to refresh your memory. This is what you and I said on Friday. So I don't care about style points. This is not the BCS. There is no college football ranking poll that you need to worry about. The Chiefs just quite simply need to score more points on Sunday than the New York Giants. That's all that matters to me in this one. You got to get that first W on the board.
But for me, and I'll use an example of a game last year of what I do not want to see on Sunday. If this feels like Chiefs and Panthers did last year, I will be mad on Monday. The Giants are an inferior team to you. It is that simple. You are better than them. I know it's the NFL and any given Sunday and it's their home opener, blah, blah, blah. If this is a game where you need a game-winning Butker field goal or like a 4th-and-7 stop and they're at the Chiefs 40 and they just don't have the kicker to make a big kick and ooh, it's woo-saw and win, I'm going to feel a little bit of a way.
So, Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts because this game certainly wasn't close in the second half. I don't think you were ever worried or concerned about the Chiefs losing this game or not. Did they play to the level that you expected? Did they give you your measure of style points that you wanted to see on Sunday?
No, they did not give me the measure of style points I wanted to see on Sunday. Now, I will say this. I'm not down on the Chiefs game. I don't think it was bad. Like, you asked at the open of the show, what are you feel good, better, or worse, or excuse me, the same, better, or worse after the game Sunday night? I do not feel better. No doubt about it. I do not feel better about the Chiefs. I don't feel worse. I just feel the exact same. All the problems we talked about this Chiefs team that we talked about last Monday, last Tuesday, last Wednesday, I feel like we're going to talk about them again this week, Monday, Tuesday, because they all still exist. And I think if the Chiefs were playing any team other than the Giants last night, it would have been a real problem. There was a point at the end of the first half where I thought to myself, thank goodness they're playing the Giants. Because this has the same first half energy, the same first half, what is happening, the same flaws, the same fears I had in the first half in Brazil. The difference is, in Brazil, the Chargers are a very good football team who are well coached. They have a quarterback and they took advantage of the issues. On Sunday, the Chiefs took on a team that have none of those things. They're not well coached. They can't take advantage of those issues. They don't have a good quarterback. So I felt like when the game was, you know, very much in hanging in the balance at 9-6, my thought at halftime was, thank goodness it's the Giants. And the second half was better, but I don't know that I've changed my opinion at all about the Chiefs after beating the Giants. That's just the way I feel about it. So to answer your question, how do I feel? Not better, not worse. Nothing has changed in my opinion.
And I think this question, I think, is the question that a lot of people have, and I think is a very, very fair question. CDOT, name the NFL team that could lose their two best offensive weapons outside of the quarterback and look like a Super Bowl contender. I mean, I think right now, the biggest question right now with the Kansas City Chiefs is that I think we can all identify that there is a problem in their offense and their offense does not function how we all feel like it should function. Once they get back their top weapons, how do they look And what all does that solve, I think? Because I think we have put a lot of stock in, man, their offense is going to bounce back once they get Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. And I think in a lot of ways, plays right now that you were drawing up for certain players, you are now going to elevate the quality of those players, and it should make a noticeable difference when we are talking about the offense. A noticeable difference. How big of a difference does that make? I do think in this process, it's a little bit difficult to evaluate them because they are so shorthanded when it comes to the offense. And then I also think in this, they have started to figure out who they can rely on and who they don't or can't rely on. Tyquan Thornton should be more heavily involved in their offense right now than he is. I think that he is right now their best offensive skill position player. That includes running backs, wide receivers, tight end. I think Tyquan Thornton is the best option that they currently have. And it goes to something, Rob, that I've been saying that I don't think is some grand take, is this offense, I think, as a philosophy, needs to get away from players that are familiar. And I think they need to continue to take more chances on players between 22 and 25. I understand why you went back to go get Hollywood Brown. I understand why this team feels very comfortable with Mecole Hardman, for example, when they brought him back. I understand why Juju is back on the team. The Chiefs really value guys that know the system and continuity and bringing back some of those veteran players. Man, the Chiefs took a chance on a player who was in his third year in the National Football League, a guy who completely flamed out in his first stop. But they took a chance on a 24-year-old player. Look, they found something. You didn't give up a significant asset. You're not paying him a whole lot of money, but you took a guess that a guy who hadn't yet hit his prime or about to hit his prime, you had a belief that he was misused in his first situation and that you could bring him to your team and you could get more out of him. That's what I want them to continue to do. I want them to continue to do that at tight end. I want them to continue to do that at running back. What Tyquan Thornton should show you is this is possible. They hadn't done that a whole lot on offense. We've seen them do that on defense with certain players. We call it the Brett Veach special. That's how you got Emmanuel Ogba. That's how you got Leo Chenal. That's how you got Drew Tranquil was that player. That's how you got guys like that. Guys that are in their prime that didn't end up working on their original team for whatever reason. They still got a lot left in the tank. Not you trying to squeeze every little bit left out of their football career that you can. No, this is the guy yet who is still an ascending player, a guy who is still getting better, a guy that we have just barely scratched the surface of what his potential is. That's what Tyquan Thornton should represent. Take more of those chances. The Chiefs have been willing to take those chances at corner. They've been willing to take those chances at rush in. You got to be willing to take those chances on offense. If we acknowledge the contract for Mahomes, how prohibitive it is in certain ways for you to be able to maneuver and get certain players, then you got to take a chance on a Tyquan Thornton. You got to take a chance on a guy who is a second round pick who is 24 years old. They did it. You're not going to shoot 100% from the field. They didn't hit on Kadarius Toney, but you bring in a guy like Tyquan Thornton, and right now he is proving to be one of your more reliable offensive players. So if you're looking toward the future when you get everybody back, when you get everybody healthy, if you were telling me their offense is going to be Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, two guys that a team spent a first round and a second round pick on, and now you're going to bring Tyquan Thornton in the mix as now your number three. So you got three wide receivers who are 25 or younger. That's the direction that this offense needs to be in. Can we not see the difference in explosiveness with Tyquan Thornton and Juju Smith-Schuster? Can we not see the difference in explosiveness between Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown at this stage in his career? There is a noticeable difference to me. This team needs to be more heavily invested in finding 22, 23, and 24-year-old players like Tyquan Thornton.
I agree with everything you're saying wholeheartedly. Let me just play devil's advocate a little bit here, just for the sake of the conversation, because I agree with you. Finding Tyquan Thornton types is better for this team. And we can name every one of the Brett Veach specials that has been successful. Me and you disagreed on the Kadarius Toney trade, but I understood the logic of it. Hey, here's a guy on a rookie contract. You're trying to get him for pennies on the dollar, and you try to maximize his value. Mike Hughes, another guy that I think they had this same concept for. Like, I get it. Let me just play devil's advocate for 1 second. Aren't those 24, 25, 26-year-olds inherently more expensive, and thus that prohibitive contract hurts you? Because outside Tyquan Thornton, who was literally given up on by the league, don't most 25-year-olds, even when they are a failure at their first stop, demand a little bit more money because of their age and free agency, which is maybe why the Chiefs started targeting 28, 29-year-olds because of price? Like, I don't know if it's chicken or the egg, but it's possible the reason they don't have a team full of Tyquan Thornton age types is because they get priced out of Tyquan Thornton age types, because even failed first round picks, their second contract is not $1 for $1.5 million. It's usually $1 for $9.5 million, and they tend to get priced out of those type of deals.
You spent that money on Hollywood Brown. I mean, I'm with you. But I mean, at some point, you got to be willing to pay the upkeep to keep your offense or your defense or whatever at a certain standard. We're not talking about breaking the bank. But you and I follow this league. There's wide receivers that are 25, 26 years old that you would think, in theory, fit into their price range. If you're going to operate with the belief that running backs are dime a dozen, then you could find a running back that, hey, maybe it didn't work at his first stop. He was a little bit injured. You bring him in here, he's got a little bit of juice left, and you can see what can happen. Like, I just look at Tyquan Thornton as an example of things. This is the point that I've been making. I don't think the Chiefs right now have, outside of Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, they don't have any other pass catcher that they are throwing to that you would consider them to be in the prime of their career. And that's just really difficult. Like, you are, for the most part, either hoping, A, that you can continue to get more out of these guys, or maybe they never had a prime to begin with. Tyquan Thornton is one of those individuals. Like, this is me applauding Brett Veach. This is the guy that feels in a little bit way like found money. You probably didn't even hit the breaking news sounder this offseason when they signed Tyquan Thornton to a deal. He might be a guy who winds up having 600, 700 yards receiving for this team. He has pretty routinely either made the big play like he made in the game last night, or it has been a misconnection. Just, hey, you and your quarterback are a little bit off. But you can see those chances and that trust that has been built up through the first 2 weeks of the season. Man, you kept going to him, and eventually he ended up making a big play. He narrowly made that first catch, missed it just a little bit. You went back to him and trusted him again. It's just about giving those wide receivers, giving those players chances to make plays. I think Mahomes has shown an ability to do that with Tyquan Thornton that I think he would if they just simply had more of those players in the stable.
I will say, I really like Tyquan Thornton. And for those of you that follow our social media channels, today on Instagram, we did our MVP of the game. I picked Tyquan Thornton, and I said this there, and I'll say it here. I think going forward, if Xavier Worthy, who was limited in practice last week and was a scratch on Saturday, we presume he'll be back this week. Let's keep an eye on the injury report. We know Rashee Rice will be back in week 7. I think as these guys start to come back in the fold, I'm all in on giving Tyquan Thornton way more opportunities than Marquise Brown. Because of everything you've said, Tyquan Thornton appears to be a spark. He appears to be a guy that can be a difference maker. He appears to be a guy who's in the prime of his career. He might be able to outrun people. He can make great catches. We saw the one last night where he's pointing to the heavens as he catches it. Like, I'm all in on that guy getting more targets than Hollywood once Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice return, whenever they are set to return, both of them. Because I do feel like the Chiefs found something in Tyquan Thornton. And to your point, if you're going to be team, let's play young guys, and they add a dynamicism to the offense, playing Hollywood Brown at 28 years old does nothing for me. Where Tyquan Thornton, I'm willing to give him more snaps, more targets, more reps going forward.
Am I the only one that felt like this? And I'm not even saying that they made a mistake. I'm not saying that they should have drafted this player instead of this player. Just, I'm simply watching the game yesterday and I'm thinking, man, I really wanted Cam Scataboo. Like, if there is a player, like, I could just go back in time and say, man, you know what? I wish the Chiefs had drafted that player. I felt like Cam Scataboo was that player. Like, if you watched college football last year, if you're a college football fan, and you watched what he did at Arizona State, and you watched what he did in the college football playoff against Texas, he just looked like a player that was going to do basically what he's done so far in his NFL career. It looks like a running back that they already have. That's how Isaiah Pacheco used to look in this offense. You could give it to him out of the backfield. You could throw it to him on a toss. You could throw it to him on a screen play. Big, fast, physical runner. Like, a lot of the things that we loved about Isaiah Pacheco 2 years ago, man, that's who Cam Scataboo is today. We don't got to go through the whole draft and, man, maybe they shouldn't have taken this player and taken that player. But I do think if you were one of the people like me and where you were kind of banging the drum for, man, I want the Chiefs to take a running back. Man, one of the ones that made the most sense, that felt like an ideal fit for this offense, was Cam Scataboo. So I am kind of looking over to the other side and I'm thinking, man, what if the Chiefs had gotten him? That guy, for where he was drafted in the fourth round, so the amount of money you're paying him, the amount of juice that it looks like is have, his versatility to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield, that guy looks like a fine to me. Now, I don't know if the Giants are going to do anything with it because they got way more problems than that, but that's a guy that I'm surprised that the league didn't maybe value a little bit more and see what I think a lot of us also saw. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's 40 time. I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, if you saw that guy play at Arizona State, you know he can just play football. He's just a really, really productive, proven player. He can run by you. He can run over you. He can catch the football. He just does a lot of the little things right. Going back, I really wish the Chiefs had got Cam Scataboo when they had the opportunity.
I mean, me and you both loved Cam Scataboo last year. Like, I watched him will a team to a Big 12 title all by himself. Like, I would love Cam Scataboo on this team. I feel like, and this is me playing the, you know, look how right we were about the draft card, but that's fine. I feel like the Chiefs are going to play like five or six guys this year where me and you are going to walk away and say, hey, remember when we wanted to draft that guy and now he's on another team and Breshard Smith is the only running back they brought in the draft? Like, Cam Scataboo's that guy. In a few weeks, they take on the Jags. The Jags drafted Tootin. Tootin has looked better than any of the running backs on the Chiefs. They're going to play against other running, the kid from the Commanders from Arizona. Now, we weren't banging on the drum for him, but, you know, he's a guy who got drafted ahead of Breshard Smith, who looks like he's better than Breshard Smith. Like, there's going to be time after time this year where I feel like me and you, maybe even when the Chiefs play the Colts, which now looks like an important game, DJ Giddens, I feel like we're going to be having this conversation more than once this year. We're going to go, huh, that rookie running back, he'd look good in a Chiefs jersey. Scataboo might be the ultimate one because he probably should have been a Heisman finalist last year, and he was the only thing that got the MetLife crowd bumping last night other than three random snaps from Jackson Dart. But yeah, I would have loved Cam Scataboo as a Chief.
Yeah, and this is the text here, 913-586-7965. C-Dot, one thing with Scataboo is the way that he runs. He has a very short shelf life, too many hits to the body and the head. Therese used to always say this, so draft another one. Like, I know it sounds harsh, just draft another one. I mean, it would appear that's the same thing that happened to a player that's on the Chiefs. I mean, I don't want to kick dirt on the man, but it seems to me like Isaiah Pacheco had a 2-year shelf life. It just, he doesn't look the same to me anymore. So when we started to notice that with Isaiah Pacheco, start the process over. You don't have anything invested in the player. Nothing. Especially with where you selected him, we're not talking about it would have taken a first-round pick. It took a fourth-round pick to go get Cam Scataboo. There will be another one that appears in college football. That's the beauty of the draft. So I'm with you. Maybe Cam Scataboo doesn't have a 8-year, 9-year, 10-year career in the National Football League. Maybe it's really good for 3 seasons. Well, by that time, his rookie contract's about to end, and you start the process all over again, and you keep it moving. That's what I'm saying is when you watch Cam last year, he felt like the perfect fit. There's some players that are unrealistic to think about how you could have added them in your offense, right? I don't think that Cam's that unrealistic. He's kind of one of those guys that you kind of knew. Man, that guy's going to be a good NFL player. That guy's going to be a good pro. That guy does a lot of the things that you think that modern running backs can do in the National Football League. Now we'll get a chance to see it. He is going to be the Giants' number one running back. They just lost Tyrone Tracy. Looks like he's going to miss an extended amount of time. I didn't see if it was season ending or he's going to miss. Cam Scataboo's going to be a team's number one running back in the National Football League. I really wish the Chiefs had got him. And I think if you're looking for an explosive young player that could have helped kind of change the fabric of this team, I think throwing him into the mix, he just would have been a big help right now while the Chiefs are trying to get back healthy and trying to get their offense back up to full strength. I know we'll talk about this more, Rob, coming up in just a bit, and I do want to talk a little college football before the top of the hour. My team looked really good this weekend. Your team looked really good this weekend. Russell Wilson looks absolutely cooked. Like, I'm serious. Absolutely cooked. The only thing that got confirmed to me watching the Giants this week is how bad is that Cowboys defense? I mean, in back-to-back weeks, that team has revitalized the career of Russell Wilson and also Caleb Williams. They got people excited about Caleb Williams again. I didn't even think that was possible. Not after the criticism he's taken so far. How did Russell Wilson do for 450 yards last week? That couldn't be the same quarterback that I saw go up against the Chiefs. It couldn't be. Not the same quarterback we saw go up against the Commanders. How bad is that defense for the Cowboys that Russ was cooking him? Whenever Russ gets fired from this job, and believe me, he is going to get fired from this job as the quarterback of the New York Giants, you only got to show them one series. You can show them 30 seconds of plays on why you were being replaced. That final drive for the Giants when they're in the red zone and he throws three passes all out of bounds and doesn't give anybody a chance told me everything I needed to know. That guy's done. He's done. He's absolutely done. It's been a great career. Russ has provided us great content. He's been a fun, enjoyable player. Prime Russell Wilson was a dog. And I don't know if 10, 15 years from now, we'll really give Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson enough credit for how good he was. And at one point, Russ was one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League. That guy that I saw play quarterback yesterday, he's done. I don't ever need to watch him play quarterback again. And you could just tell by the energy in the building. You could tell by the broadcast and how much Chris Collinsworth kept bringing it up. Jackson Dart will be starting before Halloween. He will be. It's just, it's over. Especially in that city and how cutthroat they are, you don't have too many more performances, especially at home like the one that Russell Wilson had yesterday. It just appears that we are at the end of his career. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk about the blow up on the sideline between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the break, we were talking about Mr. Unlimited. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be. And I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
I really think that yesterday we saw the end of Russell Wilson. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't start in week four. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Giants make an announcement. They ran Jackson Dart a couple of times where, oddly enough, they use him like he's Arch Manning last year. Rob, you remember how Texas would use Arch Manning? That's basically what the Giants do with their pick. And then they brought Russ back into the game, and the fans booed him. He got booed multiple times. They're 0-3. If you're the head coach, if you're the general manager, like, you got to see what I see. Hey, they about to fire you. Like, they're not that far away from firing you. Like, you could be fired before we're done selling pumpkin spice lattes. They might fire you before we hear Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like, it ain't that far away from them firing you. What's something you could do to keep your job? And the something you could possibly do to keep your job might be, hey, you got to hit the eject button on this, and you got to go to the young guy, and you just got to give the fans something to be excited about. And Russell just, he doesn't give you anything to be excited about. I think we can now say, at least through the first month, more of his performance last week was about the Cowboys than it is about the talent that he possesses. They couldn't get anything going. Now, you want to give the Chiefs credit, and the Chiefs defense definitely looks worlds better than it did in week one. They've been very, very good defensively the last 2 weeks and shored up a lot of things. But I just, you couldn't get Malik Nabers involved. You couldn't get Wandale Robinson really involved in the game. He didn't give you a chance. He threw two, in my opinion, bad interceptions. Part of the reason why this game was close for the first 30 minutes of the game was just Russell Wilson was terrible for the New York Giants. And it just feels like they are headed towards a very, very early divorce. Like, this thing's about to get annulled. This is like when Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra got divorced. They got divorced in like 11 days. This is like Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. They are not going to be married for too long. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Travis Kelce and the incident, the blow up on the sideline between he and Andy Reid. Now, I know that Rob is about to clip this, and you guys are going to turn it into some bit and try to make fun of me if it doesn't happen. But you know what? I don't care. Missouri's got a chance of making the college football playoff. It is impossible to look at their team, the talent that they have, how effectively this team can run the ball, and the quarterback that they have, and I think a pretty good defense. It is impossible to look at that and not think they got a shot. Now, you got to take care of business, and you got to win the games that you're supposed to win. But this season, it feels like it comes down to five games for Missouri. And if Missouri can go 3-2 in those five games, they got a shot at making the college football playoff. Now, I think they'll be in the Tennessee SMU range from last year. I don't think that firmly puts you in the college football playoff, but you are very easily in that conversation of teams somewhere between 10 and 14 in the rankings that you are right there. So they got one more game that you don't really got to pay attention to. They play UMass at the crib. That's a game that you should walk all over UMass. You then get a bye, and then it's go time. They got Alabama at home, 11 a.m. homecoming. You got to figure out a way to beat Alabama. Certainly this Alabama team. This ain't the Alabama team that you and I grew up with. This Alabama team is very vulnerable. I saw them get pushed around by Florida State and not be able to stop the run. Oh, wait, Missouri might have the best running back in college football. That's a game you got to figure out a way to win if you're a playoff team. You then go on the road and play Auburn, a tough place to play. Auburn looked really good this past week against Oklahoma. Oklahoma just might be one of the three best teams in the SEC. They play Vanderbilt on the road, back-to-back games. They go on the road and play Auburn. They go on the road and play Vanderbilt. That is not an easy stretch. You got A&M at home, Mississippi State. You then close out the season on the road against Oklahoma and Arkansas. Missouri does not need to go undefeated. Missouri can lose, I think, two games. But you can't drop a game. No, I'm talking about their core five. Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, A&M, Oklahoma. When all the other games you're supposed to, if you can go 3-2 in that stretch, Rob, I think that's going to be good enough for Missouri to go to the college football playoff this year as either the third or fourth team from the SEC.
I would love to pop on here and, you know, just spew hate and venom and just be like, you know, lean into my anti-Mizzou bag. I would love that. Man, Mizzou, you're 100% correct. Mizzou has the roster, the quarterback. They have everything to be in the college football playoff. They kind of remind me of Tennessee from last season, where Tennessee was, I know they were out quickly, but they were in the college football playoff. They were a 12 seed. They were an SEC team. Like, everything broke right for Tennessee, and then Nico chased the bag, and it's over for Tennessee. But that's kind of how I feel about Missouri. But, man, Missouri, what we thought at the beginning of the schedule, beginning of the year, was a schedule that was advantageous for the Tigers, suddenly looks really problematic for the Tigers. Because you laid it out. If you go 3-2 in those five, I think you have a real chance to make the college football playoff. The problem is those five all come back to back to back to back to back. It's not just five tough ones. It's five tough weeks all in a row. And our friend Bill Connolly, who runs the S&P rankings or ESPN.
That's just life in the SEC, what you're describing.
100%.
I mean, if you want to be a playoff team in the SEC.
You go 3-2
That's
there.
Just the gauntlet you got to go through. Mm-hmm. And you also got to feel good. You don't play LSU. You don't play Texas. You don't play Georgia during that list. You don't play Tennessee also during that list, which, like, we're talking about six teams of the SEC. So I'm with you. I mean, maybe Missouri's not a playoff team. Maybe they go 8-4 in the stretch and we end up like, that was a good team. But if you're talking about competing for one of those playoff spots and you're probably a road team in that scenario, then this is the pathway to do it. You got to figure out a way to navigate this schedule. Let me ask you about your team quickly. Man, it's been a while, and maybe I'm forgetting, it's been a while since we've seen KU just put it on another Big 12 team. That game was never close. They beat West Virginia 41-10 at the crib. Jalen Daniels threw for three touchdown passes. They ran a kick return back for a touchdown. Like, it's been a while since you've seen your Jayhawks tap dance on somebody the way that they did in conference play. They go on the road and play UCF. You would have to assume that's a win for the Jayhawks. You feel good about it. And then, I mean, I think you would say it's go time. On the road against Texas Tech, home against Kansas State. You also go on the road and play Iowa State this year. You also got Utah at the crib. I don't think that KU can win the Big 12, but they can certainly be a major player in the league and be a team that could win 8 or 9 games. They look to be that caliber of team this year.
I do not think KU is going to win the Big 12, but I don't think that we're going to, I think we're going to be talking about them as a team that is game and a half back down the stretch. They will probably lose in Lubbock. Texas Tech looked really good against Utah over the weekend. So they'll probably lose in Lubbock. They'll probably lose in Ames. Iowa State has shown they're a better team right now than Kansas is. But you're telling me KU has two losses? They probably should win every other one of their games, and you're going into a week 13-14 matchup with Utah at home, and you're hoping, hey, maybe a team loses here and you can back your way into the Big 12 title game? Like, that's the conversation with Kansas is, can you be third or fourth and put yourself in a position where, hey, if, you know, chaos starts to break out at the top of the league, can you slide your way into the conference title game? I don't think they will, but that's a, KU is an 8-4, 9-3 type of team. And I think Mizzou is a 10-2 type of quality team that the schedule might bump down to 9-3. I think we're going to look back and be like, wow, that KU-MU game in Columbia was two really good football teams going up against each other.
Let's talk about this for 30 seconds. I don't know if you saw the breaking news or not, but Jimmy Kimmel is coming back to the air. He will be back on his show on Tuesday. Are you surprised that Jimmy Kimmel still works for ABC?
I am surprised that he's still working at ABC. I'm not surprised he's doing late night still. I'm surprised it's for ABC.
Yeah, it did kind of feel like when they made that decision, that was kind of a you don't work here anymore. But, I mean, this situation got resolved rather quickly. The breaking news that Disney just announced that Jimmy Kimmel will be back on his show on Tuesday. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Travis Kelce and the blow up on the sideline with Andy Reid. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.